Next case on our calendar is 97407, in reapplication of Mark W. Hayes. Mr. Banta.
May it please the court, Chief Justice Miller, Associate Justice Mr. Rossman. My name is Michael Banta. I represent the applicant, Mark Hayes. At this time, Chief Justice, I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Watch your time there in the clock.
This matter comes before this court on appeal for accident show cause and objections to the recommendation made by the Board of Character of Business regarding the application of Mark Hayes to sit for the Ohio bar exam. I have chronicled in the brief the procedural process with which we've gone through. I would like to briefly reiterate a couple of things that I think are of some significance in the stages prior to having the hearing before the panel of the Commissioner on Character and Business. When this matter was heard before the Cuyahoga County and Cleveland Bar Association's Joint Committee, there were, I believe, 5 findings made that resulted in the recommendation that Dr. Hayes not be permitted to sit for the Ohio bar. In those items were, one, that he had attempted to represent a corporation. Two, that he had failed to provide full accurate information regarding his past conduct. Three, that he had neglected his financial responsibilities. Four, he had settled numerous podiatric malpractice cases. And five, that he had been held in contempt by Judge Haas of the Stark County Common Police Court. The leap that the panel made from these findings and recommendations, I will start out with what I consider the most egregious and most serious, and that is, they said, and I think they phrased it in 3 important ways, lied to the oath. He was untruthful at every level of the proceedings, going back to the time that he was interviewed, coming forward through the subcommittee, or the joint committee, I should say, for the Cleveland-Cuyahoga County Bar Association. That I find that this is very difficult because none of those sub-levels ever made that determination. And I want to further point out that the panel, in its recommendation to the board, which was ultimately approved by the board, as well as the Bar Association's brief, relied in great particularity with one question. The question for Dr. Hayes was asked in a debtor's examination in, I believe, 1992 or 91. The question was, who is Sue Hare? And the answer that is cited by the panel of Character and Fitness, as well as the Bar Association, was, the answer was, I don't know. And then it proceeds, the discussion proceeds then to say that, you know, this is the young lady who was a friend and resided with Dr. Hayes. Well, I invite the court's attention to the supplemental list of documents wherein that debtor's exam of Mark Hayes is located, which was Appendix D in the joint in the Bar Association's, I guess it would be their first supplemental list. At page 14, lines 6 and 8, I found that question, and the answer that is contained in the panel's recommendation, as well as the Bar Association's brief, has been excised. The question reads, who is Susan Hare? The answer, quote, I don't know, it's not mine, not in this reference, it's irrelevant, friend, that's all. Okay? And I point this out because I think herein we underscore part of the problem. The question was truthfully answered, it was a friend, that's all. Not, I don't know. The preparatory language that Dr. Hayes responded was obviously an attempt in his stumbling method at that point in time to be evasive, and I think I pointed out in the brief, in order to fully understand the nature of the scenario, we have to look at a 7-year period that existed from 1988 through 1994, wherein Dr. Hayes was engaged in some 6 or 7 lawsuits involving the Sutter Corporation. And one particular attorney who represented Sutter and the ongoing litigation that transpired. In that same interim between 1988 and 1994, Dr. Hayes had been in a couple of car accidents and sustained injuries that made it impossible for him to work as a podiatrist. And during that time, he decided to go to law school, ultimately in 1990, entering law school full time, at night I should say, and also at that same point in time, conducting his investigation of the Sutter implants that are discussed extensively through this case, and which I would like to also underscore that have been pulled off the market, probably in large part due to the conduct of Dr. Hayes and his pursuit of what he saw as a health hazard along the lines of silicone breast implants, but obviously prior to the time those disclosures have been public knowledge. I think that if we look, and the panel seemed to shed some disbelief that he was the object of some conspiracy, we had in deposition testimony where the attorney for Sutter referred to Dr. Hayes as the Ralph Nader of implants. If you look at the process of the debtor's exam that was conducted, this was over a $1,500 amount that was owed, and obviously it was designed to be intrusive of Dr. Hayes' personal and his personal financial and business information and background. It had nothing to do with simply collecting $1,500. There was something more at stake. There was an agenda this particular attorney had. I'm also very concerned that the panel below spent a lot of time talking about whether Dr. Hayes understood the law. They allude to his use of the terms of new negligence and extraordinary negligence and other terms that are not legal terms that we would commonly accept. And in response to that, my only concern is that, you know, is it the role of the character and fitness evaluation to determine whether you're competent in your knowledge of the law to be able to practice law, or is not that, in fact, the very function that the bar examination is suited to serve? You know, whether Dr. Hayes understands the law, whether he knows the law, at this point that's a real secondary issue, because until and if he's permitted to take the bar exam, we may never know what his knowledge of the law is.
What were the additional authorities submitted by you on November 24th on behalf of the applicant meant to show us? They don't make any explanation with regard to them. They're just there.
Yes. Well, thank you. They were, first of all, the panel placed a great focus, and the Bar Association placed great focus on the fact that Dr. Hayes unfortunately took some private matters pertaining to the attorney for Sutter involving him having had a drug intervention held by family and a couple colleagues from Buckingham Doolittle, and splaying this through court records, which were in pleadings to the file. The testimony of one of the attorneys that testified on Dr. Hayes' behalf said that he would not do that sort of thing. The panel again inserted that portion of that witness's answer but omitted the portion where that same lawyer said, "I would have saved those bits of information about this attorney as evidence." The additional authorities are things that have cropped up since the time that our, since the time that the court issued its show cause order, within a matter of days, and almost more promptly than I received my copy of this court's show cause order and the report of the Board of Commissioners and Fitness, another attorney in Cleveland, who originally had been listed as a witness for the Bar Association, but who for one reason or another did not testify, had used the report of this panel and attached it to a request for admissions that was submitted to, on a malpractice case that Dr. Hayes was serving as the plaintiff's expert podiatric witness. And basically, did by indirection, that which the panel found so much fault with Dr. Hayes for having done. The second case, the Michigan case, was a trial that was held this July in the state of Michigan, wherein Dr. Hayes, although when I got the excerpt from the transcript that's not dated, this was a trial where Dr. Hayes was testifying as a podiatric expert, and the plaintiff's, or I'm sorry, the defendant's attorney attempted to cross-examine him on the status of his bar application, and I think the court appropriately excluded that sort of information.
So these all arise out of cases in which he was testifying as an expert in civil litigation.
Civil litigation subsequent to the report being filed.
Okay, well, how does that prove your conspiracy theory? Maybe the court ruled right, maybe it ruled wrong in not letting the information in, but why, when you're attacking, if you are, or questioning the credibility of an expert for one side or the other, wouldn't it be relevant that you have been, in effect, discredited, at least by a panel? Why
would that happen? I believe the problem is that there has been, Mr. Bittner, who filed the request for admissions, I think the trial judge in the other case ruled appropriately that it was not a matter for him to be delving into as to his expertise as a podiatrist. Whether he was of sufficient character to be an attorney would have no bearing on that. I think what's significant is that we have an attorney who has been involved in the process of what has supposed to have been a confidential proceeding, who managed to obtain, as soon as it was filed with the court, a copy of the panel's report, and within less than 2 weeks was disseminating this in discovery process, which has no bearing on any evidentiary matters as to whether Dr. Hayes is appropriately learned as a podiatrist, but it's done simply to inflict harm and to cause the plaintiff's attorney to back away from.
Could have been being introduced or attempted to be introduced on the basis of veracity? Doesn't have anything to do with maybe whether or not he's competent as a podiatrist and or a lawyer. Maybe does he tell the truth, which is what they're sometimes trying to get a determination of whether an expert is a hired gun or is there to tell the truth?
I understand that, but normally one would have, you know, rely on conviction of a crime of moral turpitude,
or impeachment. Okay. But at least I understand what your additional authorities are now.
Let me ask you, Mr. Bantas, how would you relate Mr. Hayes's references to The Hague and Nuremberg in some of his responses? He has a responsibility to not be truthful with persons he believes are unethical. He refers to Nuremberg and then his definition of immoral behavior. It goes into the, you know, 6 million Jews, the gas chamber. How is he thinking? I guess I wonder what...
I've known Dr. Hayes for a number of years, okay, and I have discussed these very issues with him, and what he perceived, and I can only put this back into the context of the Sutter litigation, was that there was an abuse of information that patients, not only his patients, but people who were out there walking around with Sutter implants leaking silicone into their body and so right. forth, were being injured. And he felt that there was a higher obligation to be able to, simply having to respond to a subpoena, to go to a lawyer's office and be subjected to an examination, that he had a right to be able to halt that deposition or to frustrate that deposition. I think that the thing that the panel seemingly disregarded were the constant references and testimony during the process wherein Dr. Hayes testified, I realized what some of these things I did in the pleadings were probably improper and would not do them now. But these other things, I had a right to stop the deposition. I had a right to seek the court's intervention.
But what about with Patton? he says, I'm going to use the system to get this your client and that sort of thing. That for a person who's not yet a lawyer, isn't that that's a pretty bright red flag to us, is it not? That I'm going to get him, I'm going to screw him, I'm going to screw his client, I'm going to screw you, the lawyer. We have to go pretty slowly with a person like this, don't we?
Well, again,
we have enough of them in the profession already, it seems to me. Why let another one in? That's the question, really.
Dr. Hayes denies, part of the content of those conversations. I suspect that the initial rebuff that he gave that attorney was unsettling, and he probably did intimidate him through one means or another.
It's a difficult question to answer.
He has simply denied that some of the language that was attributed to him that he ever engaged in that kind of conversation.
The board, as you know, refers to the deposition in which he says, if Hayes says if he is unethical, I have the right to answer him untruthfully. Not only do I have right, I have a duty to oppose him. again, under our code of professional responsibilities, truthfulness is honesty is the fundamental to being a lawyer. The system depends upon it. And I guess again, he seems to have a different code that by which he thinks he should operate. If I'm asked a question in a deposition by a lawyer who I think is unethical, I put on the record an answer and sworn, I put on the record an answer that is not truthful. Why would we admit someone to the bar who has that view of his responsibility?
I think the answer to that question, Mr. Chief Justice, is that what Dr. Hayes said was that he was being evasive. About a month ago, I had occasion to be looking through PBS, or I think it was on PBS, and there was a roundtable discussion with a number of notable lawyers, law professors, Justice Scalia, whatever, and they were talking about this very issue. In a deposition, what do you tell your client if they ask, is there a memorandum? It's technically not a memorandum, but it's a memo. Hair split. Those are tough questions. I mean, I have my own personal view. I don't like to play games in depositions. I don't like people playing games with me. I don't like people who can't remember perpetually, who don't recall. But I can't say that my standards are everyone's standards. I think there's an area where something is true, and there's also an area where something is not. Frequently, that's not a lack.
Well, I guess his statement seems to be, it doesn't seem to follow the rule by which we expect all lawyers to live. I have the right to answer him untruthfully. If he means by that,
I don't know that. I mean, that seems to me, and when I read that, there were other things that were kind of out of sync in some of the testimony. But I think one of the things that if the court will look, he kept everything within the confines of the judicial system. And one of the most telling matters, if you look at the exhibit that the panel attached, which I believe was the Scott motion for protection order that he filed in the Scott case, wherein a great deal of that deals with the referencing of the attorney's drug and marital problems and so forth. If you look at that closely, you see a person crying out for help. You see a person crying out, you know, I need to be protected from this attorney who is, in Dr. Hayes' mind at least.
Feltus. You're referring to Feltus. I mean,
yes, I'm referring to Mr. Feltus. He was asking Judge Friedland to step in. I'll gladly show you this. I want to do this in camera. I want someone here to protect these proceedings because this has been a six-year war. And I stopped and thought back in nearly 25 years of practice. I don't think I've had six cases with the same lawyer in 25 years. There was a tremendous amount of personal animosity. I also, very briefly, in his financial again, in the same context, while disabled, he did have some bills that fell in arrears, and those matters were provided to the panel. I lost track of my time.
Your red light's on, so you need to sit down. Thank you, Mr. Banta. Mr. Rossman.
May it please the court, my name is Warren Rossman. I'm here on behalf of the joint committees, the Joint Committee on Bar Admission for the Cleveland and Cuyahoga Bar Associations. The recommendation of the Commission on Character and Condition Fitness that the applicant never be permitted to take a bar examination is a harsh recommendation, yet it is amply supported by the record. This recommendation was the result of two full days of trial, over 600 pages of testimony, 11 witnesses, and is a recommendation that was made unanimously. What are the facts here? It has been shown that the applicant lied under oath. The applicant has stated before the panel that he can, and I'm putting this in my words, that he can choose at his will whether to tell the truth when he's sworn to tell the truth. That he can determine whether he likes the questioner or not. And depending on whether he feels that questioner is appropriate, he may or may not tell falsehoods under oath. If this were all, Your Honors, this in and of itself would be enough to warrant preclusion of this application. But there's a lot more. There's much more. The applicant has been found in contempt of court for abusing the discovery process. The applicant has filed pleading after pleading that contains the worst rubbish I have ever seen. Demeaning statements about practitioners, opposing attorneys, calling them adulterers, drug addicts, extortionists. Pleadings that make no nonsense. And in fact, one of these pleadings was so bad that Judge Friedlander of the Court of Common Pleas of Cuyahoga County had to strike that plea. The applicant told the joint committee, our applications, that if he were not allowed to pass, in other words, if he were not passed by that committee, that he would go and sue several attorneys in Lorain County. It made no sense at the time, and it still makes no sense. The applicant has probably destroyed all of his professional records in order to avoid medical malpractice lawsuits. And the applicant further lied to the panel, to the three-person hearing panel, when he told them that he didn't know Susan Hare. And then it was pointed out to him that she was one of his recommendations on his application. This is a plethora of evidence concerning this applicant. Justice Douglas, I believe you asked about the conspiracy. I think I know what Mr. Band is trying to get at. I do think he's trying to say that there's some kind of defense counsel thing to get Dr. Hayes. I can tell you, yes, I am a defense counsel, although I've done some plaintiff's cases in my time too. But I never contacted Mr. Fifth there concerning the opinion of commissioners. Mr. Fifth there did call me 2 or 3 months before the commission's report was put out, asking me if it had in fact been put out. I told him no. And I'm assuming that what he's done is call the court down here every week or so to find out when it was in fact out. Mr. Banton has talked about hair splitting. That's amazing. To deny that you don't know someone and she's living with you, she's your business manager, that's not hair splitting, that's a lie. The conclusions of the Commission on Fitness and Character, and it's a really well-written report, the conclusions are that the applicant is not truthful, that he has repeatedly lied under oath, that he has demonstrated a willingness to subvert the legal process. And we know that. We see that with the testimony of Mr. Camp. How he called this, you know, these were 4 phone calls within, I believe, an hour or an hour and a half. They so frightened Mr. Patton that he wrote to the Supreme Court about this because this behavior was so outrageous. And Mr. Patton, in his testimony, reported that he had waited a month before writing to the Supreme Court because he wanted to think it over. He didn't want to do something right at that time. And he thought about it for a month, and still after a month, he thought this behavior was so outrageous that that's when he wrote his letter. The conclusions are also that Dr. Hayes has demonstrated, well, a willingness to subvert the legal process, and that he has an ingrained and pervasive attitude that is inimical to the practice of law. I read with each one of those. I believe each one of those is supported by the evidence before this court. And because of that, Your Honors, the applicant should not, should never be permitted to take the bar exam.
Thank you, Mr. Rossman. Mr. Banta, you've used your time, which may take 30 seconds if you like, for rebuttal.
Thank you, Chief Justice Moyer. Unlike any other cases that would be the standard before this court, we have a young man, a middle-aged man, who's never been convicted of a crime, doesn't have a drug problem, doesn't have a substance abuse problem. He has basically been a professional man all of his life. I think that the loss of confidentiality during this process is somewhat unfortunate. I think that there's been damage to him by virtue of this. Would ask that the court view the temporal period of time and consider allowing this Dr. Hayes to reapply at some future date to see if he still has the problems that he's had with the stutter matters and that his finances have not been right sometime here in the future after his disability is now over, in view of the fact that his disability is now over.
Thank you, Mr. Banta. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.